Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your fully lung functional beast, Dan Meredith, because if you listened to the last show, I had the remnants of lung sadness that's been going around the country at the moment. And I fought it. I was a warrior, Jamie, and I was a wolf and, I don't know, a lion. And basically, I had a couple of days in bed and had quite a lot of Lemsip, which is actually what I did. That was fine.
Good, mate. Good. So what are we talking about?
Well, fuck. What a fucking exciting start to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And pronouns of choice. It's a 43-year-old man telling you about that time where he was a little bit unwell and then had some over-the-counter medicine. But we are talking about something that I am a big fan of. I first read this book, I think, summer of 2023. I have recommended it to all of my private clients. I have talked about it before. It's more the concept that we're going to talk about today. And it's called Why 10X is Better Than 2X by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardin. I think I've referenced this before in a couple of other podcasts because I am a really big fan of this book. I'm actually on my second read of it now. And, you know, just a little bit of a word of advice to you, if you like reading, if you like books, there are some books that you may have read years ago that are worth rereading again. Another one that I've got is one called Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. And if those of you that run a business, one of the first books that I read when I was really starting on this kind of building my own business entrepreneurial journey. I'm halfway through reading it again. And it's amazing that I'm looking at things as, you know, now, you know, that was the start of my journey. And obviously now as an established business owner and coach and mentor, it's like there's, I'm learning new things again. But the reason I love this book so much is because I find sometimes we can, look, me and Jay, you know, Jay spoke about this quite a lot. We're both big proponents of, you know, not slow and steady, but consistent daily action. You know, we doing the same things daily, weekly, monthly, you know, having the odd bad day as normal, not throwing baby out of the bathwater and just consistently moving forward. However, one of the things that I do with my clients is a kind of like we try and look for previous periods of success and where they've had, you know, good growth. And we look through their data as well as, you know, them as a person. And I was reading this book and effectively consistent, you know, so like a 2X growth is what I call it as this thing. And this is not the, you know, the Grant Cardone 10X. It's a very, very different philosophy. But essentially what it's trying to say is it's actually easier to go big and go for slightly crazier goals because they motivate you, they inspire you, and actually going to 10 times what you're trying to do rather than just slow incremental growth might be exactly what you needed. And I've been looking through my life where I've had these, what I call in the book, 10X jumps. So it's where I was at a level for a period of time and then bang, I went up to level. And I've had two, and one personally, one professionally. I'm just going to quickly detail them. Now, obviously, for those of you who've been with us since the start, you remember my boxing journey. You know, sadly, obviously, had a freak accident, broke my leg in the fight. But I went from, you know, again, and Jamie paid me a really nice compliment. We actually met up recently. As friends, we were in London for an event with a mutual friend of ours, and we had a workout at pre-8 o'clock in the morning. Now, Jamie's known me for a long time. I am not a morning person, but, you know, he played me a really nice compliment where he said, you know, I remember where it always felt like I was taking you and kind of dragging you through a workout to go into, yeah, just, you know, kind of like at least, you know, putting your all in and, you know, you're kind of keeping up a little bit. So actually, we had a fairly good session early in the morning. You know, I'm not going to lie, it was fucking hard. I mean, Jamie does know his shit. And it's amazing what someone who's got knowledge can do with a hotel gym. And if you trained in a hotel gym, you're lucky if you've got a cable crossover and a handful of dumbbells. And my arms and shoulders and chest were fucked by the time we got up to the event we were going to. But I have, you know, I was not able to do that a couple of years ago. So I went from obviously not having done boxing or any sort of combat sports for many years to training 12 to 15 hours a week, sparring four times a week. And I literally went all in for, I think it was a period of 5 months, that sort of like whole prep period, and then 3 months of really dialing it in. I have managed to, and this isn't, oh, look at me, I'm fucking amazing, okay? There's plenty of you listening that look way better, perform way better than me, but I'm a 43-year-old man with a metal hip and a metal ankle, okay? I walk around now. I can run a 5K, benching three plates aside, squatting three and a half, four plates aside again, which I wasn't able to do. I can jump, I can sprint, I can fit into off-the-shelf 34 jeans. I literally went into Hugo Boss and bought a suit, which I've never been able to do. I've always wanted to buy a nice suit from Hugo Boss that actually fitted. And I day to day have what I call a really good bathroom six pack. So you know what I mean by that one. You know, the good light in the bathroom where you lean back and you get it. I've not been like this, but that was a 10x jump in my health, fitness, strength from that period of intense effort. And I then was thinking, well, actually, that really does apply to business as well. And I had the last, what I call big jump. And it came up because there was a memory that came up on Facebook. And this is what inspired this podcast. And it was of my mum and dad. Obviously, my dad's no longer with us. At the event that you spoke at, which was with, you know, co-headlined with myself and Gary Vee. Jay was one of the speakers as well. You know, had a really good roster on that day. It was like real, you know, good thing. I had 1,000 people in a boxing ring in London. It's called the best marketing event times infinity plus one ever, times infinity plus one. And in the space of 5 weeks, I went from having an agency and a free group. So that's what I was doing back then. And a little bit of coaching in the old product too. I put on a massive fucking event in London. I wrote and published How to Be Fucking Awesome. And I launched my coaching group, Espresso with Dan, all in 5 weeks. Okay, and I went up a fucking huge amount. Like my career just hockey sticked. And that was another 10x jump. And I'm sure, Jamie, if you were to think about your business and your life as well, there will be similar jumps off preceded by a period of intense work or effort or focus, or as even the book says, stripping things out. Because one of the things I do is there's a part of one of my businesses that I am going to phase out. Okay. And for any of my clients that are listening, so I know they do, you're good. Nothing's changing. You're all good, as said. But there's an area that is not quite performing as well as I would like it. So that's going to involve me cutting away a revenue source. But I know full well with the new business that I could do, I can comfortably five times that revenue, comfortably. And I'm going for a 10X. Okay. But equally, that 10X, sometimes you have to cut away some stuff to be able to go all in. So what about yourself, Jay? What sort of like 10X jumps have you had? And what preceded those big changes?
So I think just obviously something that we spoke about a podcast before, going from employed to unemployed to self-employed. And then within that 3 year, you know, within that 3 year period, becoming probably one of the most well-known PTs at the time on social media. And this was back in like 2013, 2014. So of course that was a massive jump. Next jump, of course, was probably the gym. And actually, you know, I was actually speaking to somebody about my new book, and he asked me a really good question. He said, are you nervous about launching the book? And I said, well, no, I'm not. And the reason being is, and this is quite a really interesting one, is that I've been around for best part of a decade now. I've been vlogging since most of the vloggers that have millions of subscribers were vlogging. I did podcasts before most of the big podcasts were doing it. And I've been doing this shit a long time. And it's only actually in the last 2 years that my stuff has gone from kind of well-known within the fitness industry. So if you, you know, if you went to the gym, there's a chance you might have seen my videos. But if you weren't into fitness or in the fitness industry, you wouldn't have seen any of my work, to suddenly gaining, well, it's probably, I'd say, 3 years, gaining about 1.5 million followers and getting more mainstream. And actually, a lot of my stuff now is not just specific to fitness, it's self-development, and it's spread a hell of a lot more.
The amount of people I've chatted to who've said, oh, you're friends with Jay. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, we got a podcast together. And it's like, these are people who have, you know, no fitness experience. They are, you know, regular people, different entrepreneurs. Obviously, like, it's mad how, you know, obviously you were, you know, again, I know you might cringe it, but you were kind of famous in the fitness industry. You know, everyone knew who you were. I knew who you were when you joined Coffee Dan. You know, I bought magazines with you on them, which is nuts. And now we're pals. But yeah, your kind of fame and notoriety is now is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And, you know, the next 2 years, you know, to a lot of people it'd be like, wow, you know, that guy's just come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, you know, he's built up a lot of these skills very quickly, such as public speaking, podcasts, events and other things like that. And, you know, the reality is I've been doing it for years, and actually I'm not nervous about really things catapulting in the next 2 years because I've been preparing for it. And it's a bit like this quote that I use all the time about be like bamboo, about watering bamboo for years and not seeing any kind of growth. And then all of a sudden, you know, certain species of bamboo, they can grow up to 6 feet in, you know, 90 days, which is bonkers. But it wasn't the fact that they weren't growing before. They just was creating a solid foundation for that exponential growth. And that's what I always look at with anything, you know, as you said, with regards to business, with regards to everything. You know, you need to put the foundations, you need to lay those foundations, because if you want to, you know, 10X and you don't have that foundation, you're just going to topple over. And I've seen this time and time again of people suddenly, you know, exploding up very, very quickly, but just not building that, you know, all of those things around them to support it. So, you know, it's, you should always go for, you know, it's kind of quote of shoot for the moon. And even if you don't land, you land among the stars. And I think everybody should, you know, look at what their goals are and then times them by 10 anyway, with regards to revenue and success, but also be patient and don't expect things to magically happen all of a sudden, because 9 times out of 10, they don't. And if you are one of those lucky 1 out of 10 that do, you're probably not quite ready for it yet.
Yeah, you just reminded me, obviously, okay, that for those of you who are newer or haven't, I love a meme. I've got to be honest, a funny reel is now, I'm leaning towards 60% of my fuck around time is now looking at absolute fucking nonsense on reels, which I do love, versus memes. But I do tend to think in memes, and you just reminded me of a funny one. It said, shoot for the moon. If you miss, here's a gentle reminder that the moon's diameter is 3,475 kilometers, and you could not have fucked this up more if you tried. Sorry, which is absolutely best. No relevance to the podcast whatsoever. But I do think you made a really good point there, that we do set ourselves these goals, which are maybe a little bit unambitious or a little bit small. And actually, if you go for the really fucking big ones, you might not get it. Let's just say you want to earn an extra, or fuck it, 100 grand a year. Okay, that's what you want to go for. And you say, I am going to do everything I can to get it. And you know what? In your first couple of years, maybe you get to 60. But if you were at, say, 20 grand a year before, and you're like, oh, I'd like to add another, you know, 1 to 2 grand a month, that, again, which is possible, you know, I've helped lots of people do, you know, both of those things. But it doesn't quite have the power or the pull or the energy of setting your, we used to call it a BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, and saying, right, let's go as big as we possibly can with this one. And then that's the end point. And here I am right now. Well, that seems fucking far away. Okay, cool. What do we need to do to get there? And yes, having a solid foundation and having all the basics in place. But always remember that, you know, a lot of people that you see online, you know, did I expect to sell 1 million fucking plus books? Did I? Fuck. Jamie, you know, I don't know what your goals were, whether you're social media following, but I don't know if you'd ever thought I'm going to have 1 million plus people hanging on my word day in, day out. Don't know. You'll have to tell me that one, mate. But I did know that I could do more and be more and achieve more if I just fucking went for it. And everyone you see, bar the kind of viral sensations, and honestly, I'm going to tell you a little something from a friend of mine who's in the venture capital world in a moment. pretty much everyone you see is like a 10-year overnight success. We have been constantly building and building and building and building and doing and showing up and applying and teaching and fucking the stuff you don't see on social media or of anyone's success is where the clues are. And it is often a lot of boring, consistent work, longer days, longer nights, being shameless, putting yourself out there, going for things. And, you know, I'm just going to touch on the point I said about my friend who's in venture capital. So you mentioned earlier about people who suddenly get successful and skyrocket. And one of the things that they've said is in the tech sector, one of the problems they have, and again, if this is a touchy subject to any of you, again, apologies, so a bit of a sort of trigger warning on the next one, is they have people with, you know, real mental health problems and suicide. That's the problem. Because all of a sudden, you get these people who are like really good tech skills, and you give them millions and millions of dollars and pounds and stuff, and all of a sudden they've gone from someone who was working on this code or this app or this bit of technology, and all of a sudden, wow, they've got money and influence and women and parties and all this crazy stuff, and they can't handle it. And I know I've experienced people over the years who have blown up socially or suddenly been catapulted into fame, and then it fades away to nothing. And you see this a lot with lottery winners, you know, who win tens of millions of pounds, you know, or hundreds of millions, and they go back to nothing after everything, because they just can't, they're not used to it. They haven't built those foundations to be able to take advantage of the situation they've got. You know, if I'd have won X amount of million some years ago, mate, I'd quite frankly be dead. It's that simple, because I would have partied myself into an early grave.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'll come back to something, but I wanted to talk about something that you jogged my memory with there, and it is that you always rise to the level of your expectations. And what I mean by that is an example of when I got made redundant, I was on a very good salary because I was a private contractor. So when I became a personal trainer, knowing that every single personal trainer around me was charging £10 a session and probably earning about, you know, 15, 20 grand a year as a PT, I couldn't do that because I had to match the salary that I was on, which was, you know, four times as much as that plus. So I just carried on working and hustling and figuring it out until I started to bring that salary back in. And, you know, it's an interesting one, because I asked myself, and I probably would have carried on doing, but if I was in a lesser job and, you know, let's just say that, you know, before I got the private contract to work, I was actually on about 19 grand a year. And this was back when I was like 24, 25, I think. And, you know, if I became a personal trainer, I probably would have been satisfied with just earning more than I was with my job had I gone down that route then. You don't know. Because once again, if I say to myself, well, I'm earning more than I was before, I've kind of won the game that I was trying to get into. Whereas going into a new game, I was like, cool, how do we figure out this game so I'm basically matching the same lifestyle that I have before? And that's what I mean by rising to level of expectations. So it's never good to have low expectations for anything, because the worst thing about having low expectations is you actually achieve them. And then you take your foot off the gas when actually, you know, when you could have just carried on going instead of just being satisfied. And there's a very big difference between, you know, satisfaction and, you know, like you can be satisfied and still go for it. And I think this is the thing that I try and say to people all the time. You know, I know people who are relentless and they're never happy, but they're also never satisfied either. And actually, that mental model has enabled them to achieve wild things. But you also ask yourself, at what cost does that come? Because more is not always better. And I think the beauty of business and life and everything is that balance aspect. And everyone's balance is completely different.
Yeah. And depending, like I said, you listener, like whatever your goals are and whatever you want, your 10x and my 10x and Jamie's 10x are all going to be very, very different. You know, as I've mentioned on a previous podcast, I was quite happy with the kind of steady growth. I'd had like steady incremental growth year on year for the last 3 years, which is lovely, which is a fucking great place to be in. I've had to change a couple of business model, offer some different things, but you know, it's been good. Okay. But I recently, so I've got, as I've mentioned before, I've got a little sister. She's special needs. She's 40. And, you know, I've got to start looking, you know, I've got some things in place for her future already. But I realized that, you know, when that video popped up, I told you, and it was my mum and dad, you know, they very rarely get away from, you know, from caring after my sister. And, you know, I've got to be honest, I did blackmail them a little bit in a loving way. It's like, it's the biggest thing I've ever done. I really want you there. Like, it'd be, you know, so important. And we managed to get, you know, our carers to help us out and look after Anna of an evening. And, you know, they came to London and it was, you know, a really touching moment. And it just re-reminded me of my whys, you know, my selfish whys. I wanted a nice life, I wanted a nice house, nice car, nice things. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Absolutely nothing wrong with wanting nice stuff, nice life, comfort, zero at all. But, you know, we've had some, let's just say, challenges with my little sister, and I realized that I'm in a position where I can actually really, really change some things for her. So I've literally, so sort of my sort of 10x goal is a number, because I want to start buying some property for people like my little sister, so they can have a safe home where they're looked after and she can have friends and she can be, you know, able to get to places. And that's my own personal goal. So I'm good. Like, I'm good right now, but my own big goal, the thing that I'm throwing myself is, you know, there is a number that I need to have after tax, after VAT, after all the fucking, I mean, for anyone here who's listening, self-employed, how shit is January? Do you know what? I'm going to fuck you up the arse with your fucking corporation tax. And oh, what's this? You're not finished. There's another cock coming in the form of VAT. Like, seriously, why can't we just do this in April? I'm going off on a dungeon. I'm having me dungeon.
And Dan, there's another one. There's personal tax too. Doo-dum-tsh.
Oh, fuck, no, it's, yeah, it was, so, sorry, yeah, corporations later, but personal and VAT, like, fine, you know, cost of doing business, I know what it is, but why does it have to be in January? Why do we have to have them all right now getting fucked up the arse with multiple cocks in the worst month, which lasted this year, apparently 4 months?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know, like...
Complete side point there.
Yeah.
So for anyone who's self-employed, you'll know what we're talking about.
That, you'll know. I totally agree with that, because I come back from Mexico and it's like surprise, and then the next week surprise, and then the next week surprise, and then I look at my desk yesterday and then there's the worst thing. It's like the worst thing to ever comes to the door is a brown letter with HMRC. Just to remind me, go, oh yeah, you know all that stuff we took off you? We've just realized that you missed a payment back in November, so we need that too.
I love this country. I am, you know, proud of being British. I like the UK. You know, we've got mutual friends and people we know fucked off to Dubai for tax reasons, and that's their choice. You know, for me, not for me. You know, I'm happy to contribute and pay my way and all that kind of stuff. But fucking hell, just. Do you know what? If anyone in the government's listening, no problems, happy to pay. Can you just move it to April when the clocks go forward? Give me a little bit of sunshine. Do you know what? Give me a little bit of romance before you fuck me up the arse. Okay? Which is ironic, because our next one is we are talking about all things romance. And have we got arse fucking scheduled for that one? I don't know if we've got that on the topic. No. Okay.
We haven't.
But equally, if that's your thing, have fun. What the fuck are we talking about? Because I have gone off on a tangent.
10x is better than 2x. And I really want you to just elaborate a little bit more on that, Dan, with, you know, how do we 10x a 2x thing? When we're setting goals, how do we, you know, set them and then go, how do we 10x this? Because I have obviously not read the book. I just want some kind of a breakdown for that, because once again, a lot of what we've just spoken about now, which I think is important, is about, you know, 10xing things up and looking at a bigger scale. But once again, for me, it's also the importance of patience and having a plan.
I mean, the thing for me, so I'm reading from the contents list, so is chapter 4, which I've already spoken about, which is uncover your 10x past to clarify a future. So that's looking back over where you've had these big leaps before and remodeling that or doing a version of that again. But you know, for example, chapter two, shed your 2X identity and relentlessly raise your standards. So it is a case of, honestly, I mean, this is how I've been recommended to it. So for me, it's getting really clear on what you should be doing. Okay. And if there is anything you are doing which is no longer serving you, which you don't enjoy, even if there's a part of your business and if it's profitable, but you fucking hate it or it's not paying off or it's draining you, sometimes you have to take that big, scary leap and start cutting shit away. It could be people, it could be processes, it could be places you go, it could be business units, it could be starting again from scratch. Now, for those of you who've got, you know, mortgages, independence and sort of stuff, you do, as we've always said before, you have to be logical and you have to think about things, you know, in the right way. And in that case, you know, maybe building some sort of war chest or something behind you before you do that. And I'm a big fan of a deadline. So for me, cut away everything that does not fucking serve you or is draining your energy or simply sucks the life out of you. Whatever the goal you've had, just fucking increase it, okay? And then honestly, reverse engineer back how you could do that. So for one of my businesses, I've realized that if I get 10 people onto this model, okay, that is a multi six-figure profit. Okay, that's it. That's all I've got to do. I've got to find 10 people on the planet who need my specific skill set over a year for the certain things that they need, and I've done that. Now, I've looked at the areas of my life where I could get that time back, and honestly, it involves a little bit of restructuring. I'm going to move around how I do my week a little bit. So it is actually going to serve my current clients better. So I'm going to be doing with that. But I'm going to have 2 weeks per month where my focus is purely working on the business. So for me, my own personal goal is that I have been very fortunate to have a really loyal, awesome following. Not as big as yours, but they've been with me for a long time and they've stayed. But I need fresh blood. I need some new people. So the key thing that I realized is that for me to kind of 10X, I realized audience was the thing that I needed to do. So hence the new book, the new direction, the new podcast, and literally what I did back in the day, whoring myself across podcasts, videos, other groups, and literally just giving value, just giving freely. So that was my own personal reflection. And so anyone who's listening, you have to think to yourself what it is you need to get. So what's actually missing? So you might say, I want more money, but if you haven't got a following, or maybe your product isn't great, or you know, you're not doing something you don't love, then that's actually something you've got to address first. And what I will say is often this 10X life, this future that you want, this revenue, this freedom, this health, whatever it is off the back of I personally like a defined period of work, like 3 to 6 months is a nice window for me personally. That's the sort of framework I work in, of very aggressive action and effort that you've not taken before. So you're not going to get the same you're not going to get the results that you want from the things that you have been doing already. That's got you to where you are. So seek advice, reach out to experts, buy courses, read books, go to masterminds, hire coaches, join groups, fucking whatever. Just consume and learn from people who are doing the things you want to do, and then fucking relentlessly apply it. You know, mastermind. So I had my own mastermind a few weeks ago, and I said to people, you know, I've made you this nice book with, you know, a detailed plan. We're going to do the planning section. Do not fucking take it home and then just put it on the pile. Okay. I went to a mastermind the other week, and literally where I'm sat right now, behind my laptop, it is on my desk. It's there every day. I see it as a reminder to me. Inside that book is the shit I need to do to get that big leap. And what I then did is this week, obviously wasn't feeling too great last week, I sat down with my team, I booked in calls, one-to-ones with all my team, with all the people they need to do to, a couple of coaches, a couple of experts that I trust, and we're putting that shit into motion. We're project managing it, we're timelining it, I'm going to apply Parkinson's Law, we're going to timeline it, and then just because I'm going to fucking shorten it 20 to 50%, because I know I have the ability to do more work if I push myself. And if I set myself a goal by a time, I will do it. So I'll start off with a realistic goal, and then I'll be like, right, fuck you, Dan. you're not having that. You're going to do it in this period of time. Because if I shorten that time frame, I know how I work. I will wait till it still gets to the fucking time that I'd have done, and then I'll start taking action. So I'm just not going to give myself in enough time, and I've got no excuses. Got to get it done. Same with my book last year. I said it on the podcast. I set myself a couple of things. I set a deadline. I fucking did it because I had to. Otherwise, I'm full of shit.
Well, it's holding yourself accountable to other people. You know, like there's something that's been on my list for over a year, which I haven't done. And I keep fobbing it off. And actually, I was just like, right, Friday, I'm going to announce it. And I have to actually do the thing on Tuesday. So I've got like 3 or 4 days to basically create it. And I need that pressure. I need that, that anxiety to get it fucking done. So, you know, I know how I work and I know how you work and it works pretty similar. Yeah.
And listener, you'll know how you work as well. So, you know, I know we're just coming to the closing statement there, but my closing statement is just be honest with yourself. Okay. Know how you work. If you take some time to have a little ponder, me and Jay both love a spa day just because we can disconnect from our phones. And I, you know, have a waterproof notepad and pen that I take with me that goes in the robe pocket. And I take notes in the sauna, in the spa, when I'm sat in the pool, where they pop into my head, right? But be honest with yourself. How hard you're actually working. Do you fucking want what it is you want? Are you prepared to do things you haven't done in the past? Set those big fucking goals and fucking go for it. Okay? And be honest with yourself, because if you don't truly want it, you ain't gonna do it. And there's nothing wrong with that as well. But if you want that 10x jump, be prepared to do things you haven't done. Work harder than you maybe have for a period of time. But I promise you, and I can't say when, because everyone's different. Shit just tends to land when you start focusing on those big goals. And you really do get what you focus on. So that's my closing statement on this one.
Yeah, 100%. My closing statement for this is always aim bigger than you're currently aiming for. We live in an age now where you can pretty much grow and do and build and learn anything. But it comes down to focus and discipline and skill building. Remember the 99-1 principle, and it's the same in everything. They use this in social media. And, you know, there's a billion monthly active users on Instagram, okay? 900 million people who are on there do fuck all. They don't post, they don't contribute, they don't do fuck all. 9 million do a little bit, and 1 billion, do it all. So, you know, when you understand that it's exactly the same with everything. If you've got 100 people in the room, 90 people will do fuck all with the information, 9 will do a little bit, and 1 will do everything. Mm. Aim to be the either 9 or the 1. Because if you're in that top 10%, you will be so much more successful.
You'll be than amazed you ever imagined at you would what be. That does. And I think there's, I think you were on the podcast, the Modern Wisdom podcast, and I heard him say something the other day, a little reel that I saw, and he said, and he was talking about, you know, as a guy who's talking with a relationship coach, and he's saying about, you know, helping yourself be, you know, and again, you don't have to be buff or lean or anything like that to meet your loved one. And it's ironic, because our next one is all about romance and love. Due to the time of year it is. But he was saying, if you go to the gym 3 times a week, you're in the 1% of people who go, that's it. So he said, stacking the decks in your favor. So do you know what? If in doubt, be the 1%. Be the person that shows up, does the work, does what they say they're going to do, change your fucking life.
100%. Ladies and gentlemen, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. And if you did, let us know on social media.
That sounds a bit wrong. That sounds
Does, doesn't it? Yeah, let us know on social media, and please, please, please share with somebody who you think will enjoy it. But, ladies and gents, really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Body and Beast podcast. I've been your body, Jamie Autumn.
And I have been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.